Not.
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 Indeed.
Etasmen. In this. Kule. In the dynasty.
In the dynasty.
Or family.
Or family.
Kaschit.
Kaschit.
Anyone.
Anyone.
Nishatva.
Nishatva.
Poor-minded.
Kripanaha.
Miser.
Miser.
Puman.
Puman.
Any person.
Any person.
Apratyakyata.
Pratyakyata.
Refuses.
Refuses.
Pratishrutya.
Pratishrutya.
After promising to give.
After promising to give.
Yava.
Yava.
Either.
Either.
Or neither. There's two ways of pronunciation. Either way is all right. Or either way is all right. Either or either. Or tomatoes or tomatoes. Yeah. Adata.
Adata.
Not being charitable.
Not being charitable.
Dvijataye.
Dvijataye.
Unto the Brahmanas.
Unto the Brahmanas.
Translation. I know that even now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to Brahmins, nor after promising to give charity has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. So there's no purport to this text, so we'll read the next text with its purport. Na sanditirte yuri chatinar titha Parali mukka ye vyamana sin vinonapa Tismat kule yad yasha shamalena Radha udba. Radha udpati yato dupake. O King Bali! Never in your dynasty has a low-minded king been born who, upon being requested, has refused charity to brahmanas in holy places or a fight to kshatriyas on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Pallad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Jai. The symptoms of a kshatriya are given in the Bhagavad Gita. One of the qualifications is the willingness to give charity, dana. A kshatriya does not refuse to give charity when requested by a brahmana, nor can he refuse to fight another kshatriya. A king who does refuse is called low-minded. In the dynasty of Bali Maharaj, there were no such low-minded kings. Okay. So, right. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasmaya Shikarave Namaha. So, does anyone know what the word kshatriya means?
Fight.
No, it doesn't mean fight. Anybody know?
One who
protects. Like there's two parts of the word, shat and triyate. So just like we have the word what? Mantra. What does the word mantra mean? Yeah. To free the mind, yeah. To free the mind. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? So the word shat means harm and Triyate means to free. So it frees, or a kshatriya frees one from what? Okay, so you listen.
A kshatriya frees one from...
From the mind?
No.
No.
From harm.
Okay. So in order to free someone from harm, there's several things the kshatriya has to do. One is, of course, he fights to protect people, but that's not the only thing he does. Many people think a kshatriya, the only thing a kshatriya does is just loves to fight. He goes out and plays soccer or whatever. and then he fights all day long. No, but a kshatriya is also what we call an administrator. What's an administrator?
Someone who's in charge.
Someone who manages the kingdom. The brahmanas don't manage. The kshatriyas manage, and the brahmanas give advice. So that's another thing a kshatriya does. But then also, another thing that kshatriyas have to do when they're kings is listen to the citizens to be able to protect them. So there's some description that everyone or every king had to entertain anybody who came to complain. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? So there's that story I told, actually I told the story yesterday. No, actually there was a story about Lord Ram's king. I didn't tell that story recently. There was a dog who complained to Lord Ram. You know that story? I think I told the story here, but you probably forget. So once upon a time, there was a dog who was being beaten by a Brahmin. And the dog went to Lord Ram's palace. Ordinarily, dogs are not allowed in the palace. You know, in the modern Western world, people have dogs, they take them to bed with them and kiss them and everything like that. And just like yesterday, I was taking a bicycle ride here on the trail, and everybody was walking with their dogs. And most of them have these bulldogs. They're ugly. And people start to look like their dogs after a while. So anyway, this dog went to the door of the castle, and I guess the dog didn't knock on the door. It's hard for a dog to knock. So the dog went and waited patiently, and Lakshman came out. And Lakshman said, "My dear dog, what are you here for? Why are you barking?" And in those days, the dogs could talk. So the dog said, "I have a complaint." Okay. So Lakshman said, "All right, come in and talk to Lord Ram." Because Lord Ram, the king, had to sit there and hold audience with his citizens. Whatever they wanted, whatever, he had to help them. So the dog came in. And the dog said to Lord Ram, "I've been beaten by this Brahmin." And Lord Ram said, "Bring the Brahmin here." Okay, so they brought the Brahmin in. And the Brahmin was asked to explain, "Did you beat this dog?" And the Brahmin said, "Yeah, I beat the dog because I was hungry." You know, sometimes when people are hungry, something happens. It's called low blood sugar. Isn't it? And they have mood swings. You ever heard about that before?
No.
When you're hungry, don't you get angry sometimes? Yeah, so that's called low blood sugar. So anyway, so he said, "You know, I had low blood sugar, and I beat the dog. I have a good excuse." And Ram said, "There's no excuse for beating the dog. So you should be punished." And so they had some discussion amongst all the ministers how to punish this Brahmin. So the ministers had different opinions. You know, basically a Brahmin's not supposed to be punished. You know, there's this rule that kings aren't supposed to punish Brahmins. So eventually the dog said, "You know, I have an opinion, a way the Brahmin can be punished." And everyone asked, "You know, what's the way the Brahmin can be punished?" And the dog said, "Well, make him a temple president." Remember the story now?
He said that because he gets all the...
Yeah, the conference. So anyway, and everybody was bewildered. Why should this Brahmin become temple president? That's a reward to become temple president. And then Ram said, "Let the dog explain." And the dog explained that once upon a time in the past, I was temple president. And because there were some offenses being made by some people in the temple, I had to accept a portion of those offenses. Therefore, I became a dog, so this Brahmana should have the same fate. So,
A smart dog.
So, in any case, the purpose of telling that story is to illustrate that every single citizen had a right to approach the king and talk personally to the king. In fact, there's some stories about how there was a bell outside of all the palaces, and the citizens had a right to ring the bell so that they could come in. You know, it was like a bell with a rope, so they could come in and see the king. Of course, not 24 hours a day. They had to go during the king's audience hours.
So those are different responsibilities of a kshatriya. He has to take care of people, protect people, manage society, make sure everyone's getting enough food, make sure also that people are not dying prematurely. Wow. That's an interesting point. There was this story in the Krishna book. You know the story in the Krishna book?
No.
A brahmana came to Krishna in Dwarka. And the brahmana's sons kept dying right after they were born. Remember the story?
Yes.
You don't know the story. You didn't read Krishna book. Oh, you don't. You're an atheist. So the brahmana's sons kept dying. So the brahmana came and complained to Krishna. Dwarka said, you know, this is not good. You are responsible, king. You know, people died prematurely. If sons died before the fathers, the king was held responsible. Because that meant that, let's say, sinful activities were happening in the kingdom. Krishna actually deferred to Arjuna, and Arjuna said, I am Arjuna, the great Arjuna. I will protect your sons. You know that story? And so Arjuna goes with the Brahmin, you know, and he stands outside the Brahmin's house, and the Brahmin's wife is getting ready to deliver another child. And then the child dies again. And Arjuna had taken a vow that he would enter into fire and die. Arjuna does that, you know, often. That's the kshatriya's spirit. Isn't it? I mean, what was the other case he did that in, that you can remember? Jayadrath.
Yeah, when he killed Abhimanyu.
He said, unless I can kill Jayadrath before the setting of the sun the next day, I'm going to enter into the fire. Of course, Krishna had to save him. So in this case, Krishna had to save him also. So he was getting ready to enter the fire again, and Krishna said, no, that's not a good idea. I got some plans for you. And so they all got into Krishna's chariot, and they went where? Where? Mahavishnu. They went past all the coverings of the universe, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and they saw Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu said what? He said, I did this because I wanted to see you, Krishna. And it's interesting because Krishna and Mahavishnu are the same person. But Krishna is so attractive that even his other incarnations want to see him. That's proof that Krishna is superior to all the other incarnations and that Vishnu comes from Krishna. It's not that Krishna comes from Vishnu. So that's one proof there. So you see how strict a king's duty was. I mean, even Lord Ram, what did he have to do to please the citizens?
Send Sita away.
He sent Sita away. I mean, can you imagine that? Sending your wife away when she's pregnant? I mean, it's apparently very cruel, isn't it? But the Lord had to consider, or the good king would have to consider, that all the citizens have the same rights as one's family. In other words, one can't be engaged in something called nepotism. That's a big word we can teach you today. Nepotism means, basically, you just post your family members in your faith and you favor your family members. That's called nepotism. And you see that. Let's say, okay, let's take Korea, North Korea, for example. Isn't it? Like, even though I wouldn't say kings, you know, whatever they're called in North Korea, you know, the King Jong-un or whatever, they're demons. So it actually it's interesting that they appoint their own family members, their children or whatever, to be the next in charge of the kingdom. And not only that, if they have some competitor, let's say if you have a brother or a sister who could compete with you to be in charge of the kingdom, what do you do with them? Kill them. That's what they did in North Korea. He killed his uncle and so many things like that too. Keep his power. So a kshatriya cannot favor his family. So if his family is interfering with the king's duties, then the family has to what? Hit the road. Like that. song Hit the Road, Jack. You know, so anyway, you don't know that song. So anyway, so the family has to go. So Ram was thinking Sita has to go so I can fulfill my duties. And so for the rest of 60,000 years, he had to rule the kingdom without Sita. And of course, before that, Sita had entered into the earth because, you know, Ram was so determined to prove Sita's chastity that she basically became insulted. And she said, you know, this is too much. Too much. And then she said, if I have never thought of anyone other than Ram, let the earth open up and the earth goddess take me away. So she was taken away, right? And poor Ram had to make do with a deity of Sita to do all these sacrifices. And even though so many other ladies wanted to marry him, I mean, anyone in the kingdom would have married Ram, right? He had to stick with his vow of what? Ekapatni Vrata. So anyway, so this is another duty of the king, just to see to the welfare of the citizens and whatever his own welfare is, welfare of the family, he may have to suffer in the meantime. He has to actually fulfill his duty. So here in this particular verse, charity is talked about. And also, not only charity, but a kshatriya has to fight when challenged. And sometimes he can get in trouble. For example, and also he has to gamble when challenged to a gambling match. Who got in trouble? Balaram got in trouble? Balaram never gets in trouble. Even if Balaram loses, he smashes the guy's teeth. Isn't it? Like when Balaram was playing chess with Rukmi, what happened? He killed him. And the king of Kalinga had to have all his teeth removed. And they had to go to a dentist and get false teeth after that time. So, anyway, so Yudhisthira Maharaj, he ended up in trouble, right? Because he was challenged to a gambling match, actually by Duryodhana, not by Shukuni. And Shukuni was the one who threw the dice, but it was on behalf of Duryodhana. And what happened when he had to meet that challenge?
He lost everything,
including
his brothers and wife.
Hellish, isn't it? So, you know, kshatriya has to meet it. If someone challenges him, say, all right, let's hand wrestle or whatever, then he has to do that.
And wasn't it that Shukuni's dice was special?
Yeah, they were loaded. That means they were weighted in a certain way so he knew how to throw it so they would land the way he wanted. So that was special dice. So anyway, so here we're talking about charity. So this is a very important point. And there's another story in the Mahabharata about how a kshatriya lost his ability to be invulnerable by giving in charity. There was one kshatriya, and see if you can guess who I'm talking about. He could not be defeated. He could not be killed. But because he gave in charity, he could become defeated and killed. Who was that?
Karna.
Karna, yeah. Because Karna had made a vow that when he worshipped the sun god in the morning, anybody who came to him, he would give him whatever he wanted. Okay. But Karna had something that made him invulnerable. What did he have?
His shield.
His shield and?
Earrings.
His earrings, kundala. So his, and who knew about that?
Kunti.
Yeah, but that wasn't important for this particular story. Krishna, yeah, Krishna knows everything, I guess. But who came to beg it away from him?
Wasn't it Indra?
It was Indra. And why did Indra do it?
For Arjuna.
Why did he do it for Arjuna?
Because he knew he couldn't penetrate that.
Yeah, but why did he favor Arjuna?
His son.
Arjuna was his son. So that's, he was favoritism. It's called nepotism. Of course, it was on Krishna's side, so it's all right. That nepotism in Krishna's service is good. So, so what happened is he went to Karna at a particular time, and he said, my dear Karna, Keshav, give me your earrings and the vest, you know, the golden vest he had. And what did Karna do? He cut it off. and he was all bloody, and he gave it to Indra. And then, but also Indra, being like a Kshatriya type of person, Karna asked him for benediction. And
that
what
bent? That nobody can stop.
Yeah, what was that called? It starts with a D. A dart. It was the dart that nobody could counteract and would kill whoever he fired at. So Indra had to give him that because he was asked for something in charity too. So you see this like reciprocal request of charity. And what saved Arjuna from that dart? That's very nice. Because he took the dart because he was destroying all the enemy's soldiers. And Krishna was very happy because Arjuna was saved at that particular time. So there's many examples. And we gave some examples yesterday about Dasarath and others who give in charity. It is a king's duty to not refuse anything asked by the brahmanas. And also another thing that, of course, we don't want to apply that in Kali Yuga, is that a kshatriya, even when a proper lady approaches him, he has to accept her as his wife. Wow. Except if you've taken a vow like Grandfather Bhishma. So Arjuna, there's an interesting story in Arjuna's case, that Arjuna one time had to go in exile because, why? He intruded upon Yudhisthira and Draupadi. You know the story?
Yeah, because...
Why?
Dakshapnag was attacking, so... And his bow was in that room,
yes.
So he had to go get his bow and he was exiled.
And he had taken that vow because Narada Muni told the Pandavas to take that particular vow because if they didn't take the vow of going in exile, if they intruded upon any of their brothers with Draupadi, it would create problems in the family. Narada Muni was very concerned that these five brothers would fight with each other. One of the reasons they had five brothers marry the same wife, so they could all get along. Because if they had married different wives, what would have happened? Yeah, the wives would have said, hey, you're better than that. You just steal that. How can you take orders from Yudhisthira? You know, sometimes wives do that. You should, you know, sometimes the wives actually become the boss of the family. Behind the scenes. Okay, see you later. We're almost finished. Interesting story, isn't it? So, anyway, so, therefore it was necessary for them all to have the same wife so they could work together. But there had to be some arrangement so they didn't intrude upon each other when they were with Draupadi. And that arrangement was that if any of the brothers was with Draupadi and another brother came in, he would have to go in exile. So Arjuna went in exile, and actually he was supposed to be a brahmachari in exile. And then next thing that happened, Arjuna was what? Bathing in the Ganges. And what happened there? Just those two.
Snake.
No, this was not a snake. Well, it's snake, yeah. A loopy pulled him down. And she said, I want to get married. And he says, well, it's not going to work out. It's supposed to be Brahmacharya. He said, no. She said, no, no, that just refers to Draupadi. And so they got married. So, and anyway, so Arjuna kept marrying different girls. You know, when he went to Manipur, there was another girl he married. And then finally, he ended up his exile marrying who?
Subhadra.
Kidnapping Subhadra. So that's another Kshatriya's duty, to get married. Of course, we don't follow that in Kali Yuga, obviously. Someone says, I'm a Kshatriya, I have to get married to anyone who proposes. So Kshatriyas had many, generally they had many wives. So there are many duties that Kshatriyas have. Primarily their duty is to protect the citizens and give charity to the Brahmins and maintain and make sure the citizens are happy, not just protect them. Make sure they're all happy and satisfied and their needs are met and everybody has enough food, stuff like that. And not, and just one final thing, but not simply to give money or food to lazy people. They also to make sure everybody works.
As hard as they can.
You understand? Not like charity. Nowadays people can go on the dole. And they can go on the dole for years. And they're just lazy. Yeah, but one king had a very interesting test. I'll end the class with this story. To see who was actually lazy. He said, I will only feed those who are extremely lazy. So he had a test. He made a house, and he said, oh, the lazy man, I'll feed you. So they all came to the house. You know, there are like thousands of lazy men. They were all in the house thinking, oh, this is the life. Oh, lazy, lazy. So thousands of them. So the king had a plan. He set fire to the lazy house. This big fire, you know, fire is very dangerous. So practically every one of the lazy men ran away. Ah! And the king said, you are all not lazy. So therefore, I'm not going to simply feed you. You've got to get to work, go to the fields. Okay. Listen. Listen. Shune. So he said, you are all not lazy. But there were two men who remained in the lazy house. One said, oh, I'm hot. And the other one said, just turn over. Just turn over, you know. So the king said, these are genuine lazy men. I will feed them. It's a funny story. And so everybody else was forced to go out to the fields. Prabhupada said, if people refuse to work, we put them in the plow department. The plow department means they have to do something practical, like growing vegetables. Even in Fiji, in the prison there, you know, the central prison, was that Nambua? They actually make prisoners go out and farm. So that's the point. Nobody should be sitting. The king's duty is to make sure nobody's sitting around doing nothing. They're engaged according to their varnashram situation. Okay. So any questions or comments? Questions? Yeah.
Understand that regulation or the rule for kshatriyas that if they're challenged for a fight or to gamble or if they're asked to be married, then they automatically have to accept that proposal. It's just because anyone can come to them arbitrarily and say, I want to fight with
you. No, another kshatriya.
That's what I mean. Like, if they can just, if some other kshatriya
that's right.
can just have a chip on their shoulder and come up to them.
That's right, and that's what happened.
So why do they have to?
Because they have to cultivate that spirit, the martial spirit, you know, the chivalrous spirit. That's very, very important for them to do that. So they have the right mood. The mode of passion has to be cultivated. They even have to hunt, too, sometimes to protect the mode of passion. So they cultivate that. You know, if a kshatriya, I mean, it's like that, you know, with a soccer game, for example. Like if you get challenged in the soccer team and you say, all right, I understand. Then you lose your edge. I mean, for example, because I'm not really a kshatriya. So when I was young, we had physical education. You remember physical?
Yeah,
I told the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, physical education. So, you know, I'm not really into being challenged or anything like that. So we were wrestling. And, you know, the wrestling, there's a wrestling thing where you go down on the ground, another person has his arm around you, and you say, one, two, three, wrestle. And I said to the other person who was above me, I see, as soon as they count to three, I'm throwing myself on the ground and getting up. So one, two, three, he won. Because I didn't want to get into it, you know, it's just like, you know, there's no competitive spirit. So I failed physical education. I was the only one to ever fail physical education in school. And then whenever we had a game, we didn't play soccer, of course. We had this thing called volleyball.
Oh, yeah, volleyball.
And then they picked me last, you know, when they were picking the teams, you know. So I was like, I wasn't even picked, you know, just like the last person. So just by default, he goes on whatever team is the last picking. Because I wasn't into it. So there's a whole spirit, you know. It's just like, it's part of the spirit. And it has to be cultivated, too. And then, though, kshatriya, the marriage, he's protecting the lady. It's not that, you know, someone who's been married 200 times before he gets married to her. It has to be a proper lady. It can't be just like, you know, some prostitute approaches him or anything like that. It's just not, that's not a kshatriya's duty. But that's the protection. He gives protection to the ladies in society. And one way he does that, like Prabhupada said, and generally in society, now this doesn't apply in modern society because they have selective abortion, in India especially, that modern society there's men, more ladies than men. Now, of course in China, because they, you know, the selective abortion, India's selective abortion, it's exactly the opposite ratio right now. And I was just reading the other day that even in China, sometimes they kidnap girls from Vietnam because there's not enough ladies in China. So they kidnap girls from neighboring countries to get married to them. Whew, terrible, isn't it? But anyway, so the kshatriya has his duty of protection.
If a woman approached him to ask for protection, couldn't he protect her by arranging for her to get married to someone else instead of marrying her himself?
No, but she's in love with him. You can't just, like, say, you know, you should marry this person. She said, I'm not interested. And the kshatriya was also very dynamic and heroic. I mean, he was someone that practically any woman would want to marry. Even Ravana. Ravana, I mean, he wasn't a kshatriya, obviously, but he was so dynamic and handsome that practically any woman would drop her ordinary husband just to go with him. Because he's rich. You know, he was practically Bhagawan. Think of all the opulences, right? Wealth, strength, not renunciation, that what he did. Fame, intelligence. Wow. I mean, any lady would go for such a person. I mean, you see, like even someone like Donald Trump. He has a young, beautiful wife. I mean, it's probably his 10th, but, you know, whatever. Because of the money. Even though he has no hair, he has to fold all of his hair forward, you know. So people are attracted by opulences. Anyway, so she wanted to marry him. She was in love with him. You don't, kshatriya's duty is to actually not just assign her to someone else. That would be cruel. But of course, that should not be done. It's not that like the Prime Minister of Australia should be like that. Just advertise any woman who wants to marry the Prime Minister. There's probably not too many people want to marry him. Even his wife is probably upset. So, any other questions? Yeah.
And how about when a kshatriya is approached to gamble? Is that the same principle?
Same thing. Yeah, it's a martial thing. You're challenged. You know, sometimes like, even in little kids, you know, challenged to a fight, and you say, no, I don't want to fight. Oh, you're just a sissy. You heard that before?
Chicken.
A chicken, you say chicken. Or there was this other word, whoosh.
Yeah, whoosh.
Whoosh. And then you feel really bad, you know, it really brings down your self-esteem. Oh, you don't want to fight, you're just a chicken. Oh, you have no courage. And so that really gets the kshatriya's spirit up. Like even when you have soccer games, don't you sometimes like call the other team names or something like that?
I don't think we
do. Not
in the higher. On the higher level, they probably do. Yes. Oh, you're just so weak, you can't do anything, you're just like useless. That's generally what they do, isn't it?
Trash talk.
They trash them, yeah, trash talk. So the kshatriya, if they didn't fight, they'd get trash talked. Okay. I think,
sorry, is gambling kind of like a display of one's strategic ability? And
Yeah. It wasn't gambling like with slot machines. You know what a slot machine is?
No.
It's called the one-armed bandit. That means a slot machine is the people put their money in and they pull this lever. And three little things go round, 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 round. And if they all match up, then money comes out of it. You've heard about it before?
No.
But the chance of winning is like very low. I mean, once in a while, they have a few little coins come out and you get really excited. And once in a while, someone wins big. But the chance is like 1,000,000 to 1 that you're going to come out ahead. But people that... people are standing in front of these machines for hours. Sometimes they die because they just can't stop. I just went through one airport in a place called Las Vegas. Las Vegas is like the gambling capital of the world. And the airport is full of these one-armed bandits. I mean, there's like thousands of them in the airport. Every gate has them. And then people are going, and little old ladies, you know, poor little old ladies are just putting their money in. And then once in a while, someone's going, oh, howdy ball. So it's an addiction. So the Kshatriyas would not gamble like that. It wasn't a game of chance. I mean, they did throw dice, but it was like chess, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
I mean, even sometimes I play chess, but I don't gamble. You know, sometimes I go over to someone's house and I play with their child because the children like to play chess. And, you know, I've learned certain techniques in playing chess. It's a game of strategy. So then, usually I win. And you go, oh. And the poor kid starts crying. Gurudev defeated me again. Oh, yeah. I don't like him.
Play against Keshav.
Okay. Maybe when I go over your house, we can play a game of chess.
Too long.
What?
Too long.
No, I can do pretty quickly.
Okay.
I can probably get him out in about 15 minutes. Unless he's really expert.
No, he's not expert.
All right.
I'm pretty good. I'm the best in my grade.
Okay, so let's have a game. Since I've been challenged, you know, I've been challenged.
I didn't challenge. I challenge you.
Your sister challenged, which is worse. So, what? Quick.
So when Yudhishthir was challenged as a Kshatriya, should he have accepted it?
Yes. Yes, it was proper for him to accept it. However, when the gambling got to a certain extent, he got crazy. There's actually another story too, Nal and Damayanti in the Mahabharata that shows the evils of gambling. Anyway, there's so many. So after a while, he just started, you know, actually making bets or countering the bets that were actually crazy, like his whole kingdom, all of his jewelry. You know, he could have just said, well, just like, you know, one little jewel or something like that. But instead, he could have refused to beat the big bets. But he didn't, because he got caught in the gambling fever. And he should have been aware that Shakuni was cheating, but he wasn't. So that shows the evils of gambling. We shouldn't gamble. I don't gamble. That pollutes the consciousness, puts you in the mode of passion and ignorance. But a Kshatriya has to be in the mode of passion. You know, it's a challenge. Like, that's fun for a Kshatriya. Okay, on that happy note.